Think about playing the handbells as if you're sitting at the piano, there's eight people playing the notes together at the same time to form beautiful music. I played the handbells in elementary school and high school, and it is so much harder than you would ever believe. And if you want a great story, ask me about how I played handbells with my deaf education students, because that was fun. So tonight, we are continuing our sermon series on fruit of the Spirit. And honestly, this fruit is something that's very near and dear to me. It's the fruit of peace. And we're going to talk more and more about what peace can mean for us in a variety of different scriptures and a variety of different reasons. And then I'll tell you a personal story about peace for me. But I want you to think about the word peace not as in a peaceful day or a peaceful walk, but as peace. You'll hear the difference as we continue. Will you pray with me? Dear Lord, in the silence of the stars, in the heaving of the sea, in the rolling of the hills, we see you, Lord. In the voice of a friend, in the words of a stranger, in the chatter of a child, we hear you, Lord. In the calmness of our mind, the longing of our heart, we feel you, Lord. Allow me to move aside and let your words be spoken. Peace. As I was just sitting with a mother behind us going, sorry, 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 sorry. There's something that we can't do to create our own peace. We can create environments like this that are peaceful. We can create friends around us that bring us peace. Y'all know you have friends in your lives that are just the peaceful, calm ones that sometimes you just need to be around. That's not you. But true peace. The peace that we're going to learn about tonight comes as a gift from God, which in some ways is such a relief to us as humans, is that we cannot and should not do it alone. We can only do it and accept it through Christ. I'm going to start in John tonight. John 14, 15 through 27. And in my Bible, this is titled The Promise of the Holy Spirit. Verse 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. And this is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but yet you know him because he abides with you and he will be in you. So here we are, Paul's reminding the people of what they already know, of who they are called to be. And it continues, I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live, you also will live. And on that day, you will know that in my Father and in me, I am in you. Those who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. Lord, how is it that you reveal yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus answers, those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them. And we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love us and keep our words, the word you hear is mine, but it is from the Father who sent me. And he continues on, I've said these things to you while I am still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you that all I have said. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give it as the world gives. So do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I'm going away, and I'm coming to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled. The peace I give to you. I was actually texting with one of my friends in Israel, and they've had a rough week. And I said to him, I'm actually preaching on peace this week. And shalom is such a common greeting in Israel. It's like hello or goodbye. And he stopped me in my tracks. He said, it is so much more than that. It is a greeting of peace to be upon you. It is a greeting for you to be complete. I wrote down the words he said. He said, it is an absence of conflict, a restoration of wholeness. You see, sometimes when we talk about the fruits of the Spirit, it's important to go from what is not peace. Conflict, tribulation. Peace is the absence of that. It is the wholeness that only God can give. Shalom means so much more than our word peace. I'm going to tell you my story now and then finish up in the end. This word means so much to me because it changed my faith life. Those of you who know me might know this story, but honestly, I don't think I've shared it recently with this congregation. But about 14 years ago, my husband woke up in the middle of the night, all of a sudden couldn't talk, and we ended up in ICU, and it was bad. He had bacterial meningitis, he had turned septic, and the very next day, I was bringing my 6-year-old and 8-year-old up to the hospital to say goodbye to their dad. This is where I was in life. I say this very briefly, I'll tell you a whole story later, just so you can imagine the place I'm in. And I'm sitting in this ICU room, the only thing, and my husband's not really with it, and when he is with it, he's not kind, and it was not the best situation. And I just said again and again and again, and again, Philippians 4:4. May the peace of God that surpasses all understanding guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. I just said that. It just became my rhythm. Because frankly, I was really angry, I was really scared, and I didn't have any words that I could pray on my own. So I went to Scripture. And it was like this blanket that I was just putting over that room and over me. And in a moment, in a holy moment from God, I had peace. Now I'll say, in that moment, I thought that I was going to be a very strong widow. That's really what I thought my peace was. And if you've met my husband now, you would never know this. Strong, capable, loving husband. But in that moment, I didn't know that. I came out to the ICU waiting room, and I said to my friends and family there, everything's going to be okay. And they all looked at me like I was a little bit off my rocker. Now, I will say this. This was 13 years ago. Technology isn't quite what it is today. And also, my friends took my phone. And so I had no true idea how bad it was. I knew it was bad enough that I was bringing my children in the next day, but I hadn't read the statistics. I didn't know all the things. I was just in the room doing the thing. And that shalom was my miracle. And when I tell this story and my husband's around, he goes, "Thanks." But I'll say that was one of the hardest years of my life. We were only in the hospital about 20 days. He woke up the next day before my boys came in, so they never saw him like that, which was another gift. He had ankle surgery because he fell again, which was kind of good because it helped him slow down, which was semi a gift. And then the next 3-4-ish months was recovery. Here's what I could do, though. When I needed it the absolute most, I could lean back into the gift of peace. I definitely couldn't create it on my own. I could not manufacture what that was, and I could only receive it. But sometimes in moments of joy, I would feel it. When he remembered words again, and when he was able to walk again, it was like, we got this. There's that peaceful joy too, right? And in moments where he just didn't know what the day was, I could go back to that peace. And time again in my life since then, I can go back to that peace. It is so different than a peaceful walk that I take in the morning. I love my walks. And I walk next to a lake, and I've been leaving my phone at home, and I just walk to the rhythm of my feet and whatever happens around me. It is peaceful. Yet what I'm talking about is the peace that surpasses all understanding. It's what changed my faith. It's what made me a true believer. I'm not saying I didn't believe in Jesus before that moment, but there was absolutely 100% zero doubt in my mind that Jesus is the provider of all things. I tell you that story not to make something unattainable. Because honestly, I don't always tell that story because it feels a little fluffy. It feels a little like something I can't tell you how to do it because I'm a very practical theologian. I want you to leave tonight with something you can do to connect you to your faith. Yet sometimes, the best thing you can do is let go. When you have nothing else to say, you lean into God. If God isn't bigger than your worst day, come see me. We'll talk. John 16:33. I've said this to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you face persecution, but take courage. I have conquered the world. I have conquered the world. We were talking as pastors this week about what peace could and couldn't look like. And I think it was Arthur, it might have been Lauren, sent an image of a nerve ending. So if you think about it as like a vine, and it's just like fractured. Okay, I'm going to go back to a personal story. These are two things I tell you not to do in preaching class, but I can't not do it tonight. Because y'all walked this with me. I was in crucial nerve-ending pain from November to January last year. I had zero control of the pain. The doctors pretty much told me, sorry, can't fix it until we get in there. And if you just think about that electronic, I mean, literally what it felt like was lava going just down my arm constantly. You learn to adjust to it, which is very weird, but you do. I preach several times in the midst of it. But it wasn't until somebody went in and repaired it was I better. And in this instance, it happened to be a doctor. But I got to tell you what. Do you know what I needed for November, December, and January? The peace that surpasses all understanding, that can guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. I couldn't do it. Even medication wasn't helping. Our modern technology world that we live in today, it wasn't there. Yet those frayed nerve endings, going crazy, can be altered through God's ultimate . If you go back and reread some of the scriptures I read tonight, it says things like, you will keep my commandments. And earlier in my faith life, I would think, well, what if I don't wanna? Yet he's talking to people who have no other choice but to. Not because they have to, but because their hearts and their minds have been transformed, and it's how they live their life. They keep the commandments because it makes them better. They keep the commandments because God has told them to, not because they have to, because they get to. And when we do things like this, again and again and again, it truly transforms all things. For what is the opposite of shalom? Brokenness, distrust, heartache, you name it. We each have our own opposite of peace. For I'd say the words conflict, right? Your conflict and my conflict aren't the same, which means your peace and my peace aren't the same, except for this. It is a gift given to us through Christ, who loves us enough that when you are in an ICU room preparing to be a 33-year-old widow, you get peace. When you are making a hard phone call and telling somebody about a loss, about a diagnosis, you can get peace. This is an ultimate gift. So I'm going to end in Philippians, even though I've said it enough tonight, but I want to read it word for word, what Philippians 4:4 says. Because the beginning doesn't make sense when I'm talking about the opposite of peace. It begins with, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. It did not make sense to read those words in that ICU room. But I did it again and again and again. Again, I say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. What a gift. When you leave tonight, you can leave at this altar whatever your conflict is. It doesn't mean it's magically going to go away. It just means that the peace will surpass all things around it. As we start to come forward and prepare ourselves for Holy Communion, this is another gift that is given to us. When you come forward to receive communion, you do it with open hands to receive this meal that sustains us in our faith journey. This meal doesn't magically make everything right, except for our hearts and our wants and our desires to follow God's will. I wish you all shalom. May you have a peaceful walk in the morning. May you have coffee with a peaceful friend. But may you ask God for the shalom that surpasses all understanding. Will you pray with me? Dear gracious and loving God, as we come together at this table tonight, let us bring forth all things that we need to. Our conflict, our joys, our worries, our fears. As I say this and look outside, there's a butterfly on the window, which to me is another symbol of God's beauty and peace. We say this in your holy and precious name. Amen.